This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Our House, Joy 94.9's program about where and how we live in our diverse community. We will explore all aspects of real estate, but please seek professional advice before making financial decisions. Whether you're buying or selling, renting or sharing, upsizing, downsizing, or just thinking about where you'd like to live, this is the GLBTIQ Real Estate Show for you. My name is David Gale.
And hello there. My name is Russ Masterton.
Oh, welcome back, Russ.
Thank you, David. Welcome back. Where have you been?
I've been to India.
I love India.
Have you been away?
They call us the Punjab sisters, you and I, don't they? They do.
Yes, Punjab, Russ. What's happening?
Well, I have to tell everybody a couple of things this evening. First of all, our Gorgie Paul is off sick tonight. He's got the flu and he will not be with us. So get well, Darls. You get well.
He could have been the third Punjab sister, but he
Well, he's got a bit of Delhi belly, I understand. So he's at home.
No, he's got the flu. He's got the flu.
He's got the flu. He's being massaged by his lovely husband and he's being well taken care of. So.
As long as Bert the dog's looking after him as well.
Oh, Bert, isn't she gorgeous?
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous. Now, listen, the other news I've got here is, this is the last Our House, David, and...
Well, not forever.
Not forever, but at this time slot, correct. We're moving next week.
You know, we're going to be amongst the thick of it.
Sadayavo.
Oh, yeah.
We're all in the old...
12:30 it is,
12:30, when all those auctions are on, it's all going to be happening. So if you want some auction advice from professionals, we do hope to get some on to tell you while you're driving around Melbourne on a Saturday afternoon what to visit and where to check out. The other thing is, and sad news for me personally, my cohort across from me, David, will no longer be on Our House. This is his last show.
Look, it's been a privilege to be a part of this show. You know, we pitched the idea and we got it all up and happening and it's been an exciting process. And, you know, I can't make it in on a Saturday, but, you know, fortunately, Joy wants the program in the thick of it. And that's probably the most important thing.
That, well, that's
Our
when
House
it is.
Continues on.
Saturday, auction day, Our House will be in there. David, I want to personally thank you for producing this show for the past 8 months. It has been nothing but a pleasure working with you.
Oh, it's just been a pleasure to be with you and Paul as well. No, I'm not gonna cry.
Well, I'm not as professional as you, so I just wanted to thank you.
What can you tell us about tonight? There is a criteria segue, for something.
That was a perfect segue, David.
Got to keep you in line.
Okay, here we go. So Paul's away tonight. We've covered that. There is one criteria for music, and that is it must have something to do with our house or home. So the songs we play tonight should have the word or information about house in it. We're looking forward to any questions that you may have for us tonight. We've got our special guest, Trentian. He's going to be talking about buying his first home and renovations.
True. Now, there is something else, though, and we were talking about this before the show. Remember when we first started the show, we had Gabe.
Oh, you know that beautiful Barry Crocker
and his song.
Have you got it on there?
No.
Have you got it now?
Yeah, I'll have a little look for it anyway.
Okay.
But, well, you know, we used to play this.
Oh, I love it. Nobody can sing that song like Barry.
We were always looking at the neighbourhoods each week.
Yeah.
If somebody lives in a neighbourhood and they want to tell us about it, what you think the best thing is about your neighbourhood.
Yeah, we'd like to hear that tonight. We want to hear if you're from St Kilda, if you're from Richmond, Port Melbourne, Armidale, Carnegie, wherever your wherever your neighbourhood is, we want to hear from you and we want to know who has got the gayest neighbourhood in Melbourne.
Do you think so? How do people contact us?
All they've got to do is send a message into us. Now, you can email us at onair@joy.org.au.
Is there an SMS number?
There most certainly is. It's 0427 Joy 949.
And what about Gorgeous Gord?
Oh, my God. My gorgeous wee Gordy. He's waiting for a phone call from
Mary
McGregor.
You sound like Mary McGregor.
I feel like my wee Mary McGregor tonight. I do, David. Now, they've got to phone Gordon on 1300 Joy 949. 1300 Joy 949.
Don't do the Scottish accent.
You don't like it,
please.
Do you?
No.
So if you've got a gayborhood, we want to hear from you. What is the best thing about your gayborhood?
Yeah. Oh, look, of course, we'll be looking at the current rates in the marketplace and some of the sales over the past weekend in our rates check segment. We couldn't have that a show without rates check.
Drum roll.
We're all here on a real estate journey with you, as we're not the experts in real estate. So we've decided to call them in. And, of course, we've got one in tonight to get them to share their experience and knowledge together.
You're at home with David, Russ and Paul on Our House.
I'm going to miss the rates check.
It's my favourite segment. Now, I've just been checking Grindr. I mean rates check.
Yes.
And here we are. Now, things are starting to happen very earlier on in the year, way back in December, January, when there wasn't much happening with auctions.
Mm.
To fill this segment, what we discussed was how there was a wee possibility that the rates may increase this week. Now, I was watching ABC Finance last night, and the rumblings from the Reserve Bank are all coming through, and there is possibilities that rates may go up. David.
Well, they have started going up.
Yes.
Now, while we were both swanning around India last week,
Amristan,
they were starting to go up, and there have been announcements by different banks, and they're saying, okay, well, we're putting the rates up on investor loans.
Yes, they are. Yep.
And interest-only loans.
They are. So what that means for future home buyers is what we believe is going to happen, and again, we are no means experts, so
we're
you
not.
Need to go
we're
and
not.
See your mortgage broker. But the gist of how we understand it as laymen, a couple of homos in the studio here tonight, is that what this is going to do is put the brakes on spending, which means we're not going to have these massive high prices. Now, I don't think tomorrow we're going to see a 1.5, currently priced at 1.5 million house is going to be worth $850,000. We're not sort of.
No.
But it hopefully will stop the high prices that we've seen for quite some time
now.
Well,
and also the growth in Melbourne last year on home prices was about 12%, is that right?
Correct, yep.
And in Sydney, even more. But, you know, the growth in home prices has been quite high. So it's going to put the brakes on that a little bit.
It will. So that the increase in interest rates is going to hopefully steady the prices or bring them down a little bit. It's going to stop. The biggest problem in our housing market these days are all of the investors buying up properties. This is the very reason why new homeowners cannot get into the marketplace.
Yes and no. It depends on where it is. That's the thing. You know,
well, like you can't in a city,
you know,
right?
Do you think investors are buying up all those properties in outer suburbs? No.
No. But do you want to live out in Melton?
Some first-time
buyers
do. And probably the majority of first-time buyers will buy a family home out in one of the new suburbs where they're going to build a new life with their children growing up and going to
school. Doreen,
for
example.
Exactly.
Well, beautiful burb. Beautiful.
But, you know, look, I mean, it will change the balance slightly in favour. Of course, we had the Victorian government with the announcement before we went away on holidays of those big concessions for
new
first
home
buyers,
yep.
Stamp duty being abolished up to $600,000, and then between $600,000 and $750,000 for a first home buyer, there was a sliding scale. But that's a big plus for first home buyers. And also, that means that it doesn't mean that an investor is going to go in and go, oh, well, there's no stamp duty for that first home buyer, I'll pay an extra stamp duty percent on top of it. They're going to go, maybe we might not be bidding for this one quite as aggressively. So, and you
now,
know, change the game.
So potentially, if you took out a $250,000 home loan or $150,000 home loan, and I was to come to you and say, "Hey, Dave, I'm this really cool cat from the Bank of New South Wales, and guess what? I can offer you a interest-only rate for the next 10 years. What would you say to me?"
Personally, I probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Interest-only is going to keep on going up. If the rates go up, it'll keep coming down if the rates are coming down. But at the same time, you know, even if you paid $50 a principal, every month off, at least you're starting to own a little bit more.
Perhaps explain an interest-only rate.
An interest-only loan usually attracts investors because what they're looking for are the negative gearing tax benefits, so yes, whatever they pay in interest, and then they're looking in longer term for capital growth. So they're looking for properties that will actually go up, hopefully a little bit better. So they're buying in a, you know, a depressed market or in an area where they might get a bargain, and then they'll see capital growth because the money that's made on an investment property is really more so on the actual amount that it goes up by when you resell it.
So, as a new home,
in that time, the interest is a deduction against the income, so that's a negative gearing side.
So, as a layman.
So I think that this decision where the interest-only loans will start to creep up in interest rate will also mean that some of the investors will go, oh, you know, I need to have a bit more money to put into this property, or, you know, maybe I won't do this for a little while and all that sort of stuff.
So they're hoping that the interest rate hike will deter some of the
investors.
Exactly right.
In the end, you know, who's going to deter? The investor person that's buying another 10 properties, or just the mum and dad investor that's just going, oh, we'd like to get an investment property to maybe future-proof
increase our super, not be on the pension.
You know, it'll be interesting. I think we have to watch and see what happens and see how these affect, you know, different segments of the market, because it's a waiting game. It's a long-term game.
And then lastly, as a layman.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've kind of done your homework and, you know, interest rates are about to go up and you are told by your bank again to take this interest-free loan for the next 5 years. It's your first home. And you think, oh, well, I can afford these repayments. I'm not going to have to worry about paying anything off the principal for the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. God, the rates are the cheapest they've been for 30, 40 years.
Sure.
Would you take it?
I would go and see my mortgage broker. I'd go and see my accountant. I'd seek financial advice.
Correct.
Because we're not buying a shirt. I've said this before. You're not just going to the store. Oh, this really hot little guy in the store said, gee, you look great in that paisley blue and yellow shirt. Well, you know, it's not. You're not buying a shirt. You're actually buying a home loan. You're buying your future as well. Yep. So
you can't look agent appropriate in your own home, can you?
Somebody said to me years ago, for every $10,000 you spend, you should sleep on it a night. Well, if a home loan's $300,000, there's 30 nights you should be thinking about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very good advice, mortgage brokers. Oh, yeah. Go and see your finance professionals. Now, this week's rates, people, 3.59% is the lowest with Greater Bank. Oh. So it's a discount off their already competitive rate, and this is for home loans over 150,000 K. So Greater Bank has got the cheapest rate this week at 3.59%. Yep. The rest all follow through at 3.79 Australian Unity.
So they're the smaller banks, the second tier banks.
State Custodians for 3.79.
Big banks, what's the best of the big banks?
They're moving out of cycle, totally out of cycle. We've seen the NRB for months and months and months since we've started the show here. They've always been the cheapest. Well, they're not anymore. The cheapest this week is Westpac with 4.02%, a loan for owner-occupiers, which is very good for them.
That'll be a first home buyer rate as well.
The other one is ANZ Simplicity Plus loan, again, for first-time buyers. Theirs is 4.3%. And our friends at NAB have gone all the way up to 4.59%. That's for a fixed five-year owner-occupier loan. So they're
Fixed also might be a good thing as well. But, you know, once again, seek advice, professional advice, because we're not the professionals.
No, we're not.
Now, we're going to, but... Just before we do actually do our tops and bottoms.
Oh, I love a top.
And I don't mind a bottom myself. We'll be back in a sec.
Hi, come on into Our House on Joy 94.9.
That's right, you're on Our House, Joy 94.9, now, the one and only fantastic gay and lesbian radio station in Melbourne.
We forgot about the tops and bottoms. Well, we're running out of time because interest rates were very interesting. Tell us about tops and bottoms as well.
I first want to let you know that there were 1,193 auctions in Melburnia last week alone.
That's huge. Was that as much as the same time last year?
1,193. Last year, there was 51. Same time last year, it was Easter. Yeah. I looked at that stat and I thought, oh, my God, my stats are out. But no, only 51 because it was Easter.
So
now, during the week,
autumn market, people are trying to sell before Easter.
That's right, because then you've got to change the way you sell your home. If you go into the winter market, you've got to put lots of fires on. You've got to leave your, you know, in-house fires on. You've got to have lots of low, cozy lights, and you've got to have a roast in the oven.
Roberto would tell you what to do. So when
people walk into the house, they smell that Sunday roast, and they say, "God, I could see myself here. It's so fabulous, absolutely gorgeous." So last week, 822 houses were sold at auction. 151 were sold prior to auction. 218 were passed in, and the clearance rate was 84%, which
That's
is pretty. Pretty good for Melbourne.
Yeah.
There were 286 private sales, and the volume of those was 82% as well. So all looking very good. Now we've got some top houses.
Would Tell you, us about the tops.
Do you want to go top first?
Yep.
Yes, you tops do.
Give me
this. Okay, Brighton. Brighton was the most expensive house of the week. That was $5,530,000.
All of those. I was going to say $3 million something.
No, $5 million.
I'm living in the 2010s, aren't
23
I?
23 Canaan Street, Brighton. Then we move further down as we go into Malvern. Oh, beautiful Malvern.
It is a beautiful
I quite like Malvern.
Some of those houses are huge.
Used to shop at Malvern Central when I lived in East St Kilda. Gorgeous little.
What houses are going in Malvern?
We've got 38 Wheatland Road for $3,620,000. Black Rocks up there for $3,601,000. Hawthorne East. I love Hawthorne and
beautiful.
Q, especially Far Q.
Yeah,
27 Hastings Road, Hawthorne East, went for $3,485,000. And Richmond. Richmond 3121, my suburb, gorgeous suburb. 430 Victoria Street in Richmond, and it went for $3,400,000. So I tell you what, there's some expensive top houses out there in the inner city and seaside burbs.
What about the top apartments?
Top flats for the week, Hawthorne East again.
Other apartments?
So we've got, did I say apartments or not?
No, you said flats.
Oh, well, yeah, of course you.
Come on.
You always
anyway,
pick
you
me
got?
Up on
We're
that. I've got it. I'm moving right along.
We're not going to do an hour of rates check segment as much as I like it.
We've got a guest, you know.
Yeah.
80 St Helens Road, Hawthorne East, $2,491,000. Got Sandringham, went for $2,450,000. Brighton East, $2,000,000. Camberwell, $1,180,000. And Brighton, $1,765,000.
Get us the bottoms. It's time for bottoms.
Cha-cha-cha. In the bottoms this week, we've got 25 Brennan Street, Melbourne, for $249,000.
That's a house, yes.
Melton South, actually.
Yeah, we've had a few there.
Out west, gorgeous place. Corio. Have you been to Corio?
Corio.
No, excuse me. Yes, I'm from Geelong. I should know that one. No. Corio, 46 Bacchus Marsh Road. Corio went for $270,000. That's just north of Nor Lane, which is a terrible suburb, but Corio is beautiful.
Oh.
We've got a place here called Kurunjung. Have you heard of Kurunjung?
No.
No? Does anyone? Can anyone message in?
From Kurunjung.
Yeah, that's right.
Kurunjung.
I'll spell it for you. It's K-U-R-U-N-J-A-N-G. If you could message in where Kurunjung is, we'd love to hear 291,500. Two Balfour Road, Melton West, went for 300 easy.
Yeah.
So it's a house in Melton West for 300. And 49 St Albans Park, St Albans Street, St Albans Park went for 305,000. So all of those houses, the cheapest being in Melton South, 249,000. What
now,
a bargain.
We've had the top apartments. How about the bottom flats?
Okay, so we've got a bit of segue that's going to be happening at this. So see if you can pick it.
But I want to
talk
about something.
The bottom of the bottoms was Brunswick West. God, isn't that amazing?
You didn't tell me about that.
No.
How much was that?
5446 Albion Street, Brunswick West, $249,000 for an apartment in a city.
Bottoms of flats,
A flat in a city.
So $250,000.
I'm shocked.
Deposit,
shocked by that.
$25,000.
God, I should have gone for that one myself.
Anyway.
I'm looking for an Airbnb. Highton's out at Geelong as well.
Yeah.
Geelong features so much in these rates. Thornhill Road, Highton, $250,000. Foot de Scray, Franco Cotso's. He's selling, closing down, would you believe? 707 Barclay Street, West Footscray for $260,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then another, South Yarra. I just read Yarra here.
How much for South Yarra?
South Yarra for... unit number 218, 31 Malcolm Street, South Yarra. I can't believe this is in the bottoms. You never see South Yarra in the bottoms.
No, we have seen it.
$307,000 for a flat in South Yarra.
That's good.
Now, the apartment of the week, which I know you'll want to ramble on about for a moment, my dear friend D.
Well, that's what I'm here
for. DG. Carnegie had a bargain this week. Unit number 1867, Munya Road, Carnegie, went for only $305,000. Tell us about it, David.
Well, I've got to tell you, it's a one-bedroom, one-bathroom, one-car parking space. And it's at Munya Moos, I think it was. No, the cloisters on Munya, nestled at the rear of beautifully landscaped communal gardens. Now, look, it's a one-bedroom place for $305,000. So it was advertised at $285,000. It went for $305,000. Okay, if you were to take out a loan for, like, if you had your deposit of about $31,000 and your loan amount was $274,000, interest rate around about 4.5%, you're looking at about $1,400 a month, which is cheaper than rent for a one-bedroom apartment.
We call this man the human calculator. Is it nice, though?
It didn't look great, but the outside garden was nice.
Oh, it looks nice, yes.
It was probably 70s built, maybe 80s built. I had a look at the floor plan. Honestly, cheaper than rent. And you could do some things on the inside of it as well.
So yep, I don't, you know. What?
Carnegie's quite a nice area. We actually know somebody in Carnegie.
Oh, we do. This is the part where we introduce our special guest. Drum roll, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to introduce you to Mr. Trent Smith. Trent, welcome to our house.
Why, thank you. It's almost like a perfect segue in.
Well, you know, we've been in our house for a good 26 minutes, so it's nearly time for another set of announcements.
It's time we introduced our guest.
We asked you to come in tonight because this is our last one on the particular night, on the Tuesday night. And what you've done over the last... When did you buy your first property?
Oh, it'll have to be 3 years now.
3 years ago. And we want to hear about your personal story of buying your first place. You've done some renovations as well?
I most certainly have, yes.
We have questions about that as well. We want to know all about what you went through in order to buy your first place. Before we do that, we have actually got an SMS in, a message in, which is actually from Brad. He's a regular listener. And he's saying, oh, I would have loved to have had my stamp duty waived on my first home loan. For that matter, I would have loved to have got a first home owner's grant. As young as Brad may seem, he is a little bit older, but they had abolished it during the period of buying his first property. Now, that
Brad, I'm with you. Yeah. I experienced the same problem. I was a young first home buyer, and again, there was no such incentive.
Now, I'm going to tell you, you were at an advantage, though, because what happened was they introduced the first home buyer's grant. Hey, guess what happened? It was, let's say, $10,000. Every property went up by $10,000, or every property that was going to be for one that a first home buyer would buy went up by $10,000. Whereas this difference with this current thing is removing the stamp duty, it brings the first home buyer onto a more level playing field. But anyway.
What's that other message from Brad there?
Tell me which bank gives you the best interest while swiping your grinder.
Well, so, you're the expert,
David. We've already
done
that. We've already checked out those interest rates, so that's the main thing. And it's good that he's interested in the rates check as well. Look, we're going to be back with Trent in about 2 seconds flat.
You're at home with David, Russ and Paul on Our House.
Snappy fingers.
I'm snapping away here. It's our house. It's 8:33 in the evening in good old Melbourne town. I'm here with the lovely Trent Smith. Now, Trent is a gorgeous gay man who lives in a place we've discovered called Carnegie. Trent, when did you decide that you were going to buy your first home?
Well, look, I suppose it was an ambition for quite some time. However, it was one of those things that you perhaps never got quite around to, and you're saving the deposit was to take me quite some time.
Yeah.
I suppose it was about 3 years ago now, and had enough deposit up when saw a broker and jumped on in.
Okay. Certainly not on this show because it wasn't around there, but 3 years ago, people were still saying, oh, you know, the prices will drop, the prices will drop.
Well,
did they suddenly drop? No.
No.
And people were saying, oh, I'll never be able to afford my first home. I'll never be able to afford my first home. And you were probably one of those naysayers for a long time. And then you just bit the bullet and went, I've got to save some money.
Yeah, well, I think that describes the situation reasonably perfectly. I think they've been forecasting house prices to drop for quite some time, probably if not a decade or more, and we haven't seen them slip yet. So,
and just so our listeners know, you're in your 40s and have got a career for yourself these days, and so it was easy for you to make that decision. Was right, it's time for me to be a big boy and grow up and save to buy the first home. I did hear you say then, which I found really interesting, that you went to a mortgage broker. Now for me, when I first bought, I went straight to my bank that I've been banking with for 100 years and thought that they would just throw all of this money at me, and I found out that was quite wrong, because I didn't have a savings history that was good enough for them to want to give me the money. did you know to go to a broker, or did you experience the same thing by going to your bank?
Well, look, a previous life I did in my, would have been late 20s, work for a bank and worked in the field of mortgages, actually. So right. I had a little bit of knowledge there. However, you know, that was enough probably to push me down the road of going down the broker path.
Yeah. And how would and where did you get your broker from?
That was through Aussie. That was okay. Local in Carnegie.
Okay. So you found your local broker in Carnegie, and he persuaded you to buy in Carnegie.
Well, not necessarily. I kind of had an eye on that little southeast pocket. It was discovered, but certainly hadn't got to the end of its run per se.
So the prices weren't necessarily at the top end. So if you'd tried to find an equivalent place in, let's say, South Yarra or in South Melbourne or in, you know, Carlton or you know, one of the inner city suburbs, you would have been paying a bit more.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, over the last couple of years, well, we are 3 years, 4 years in Carnegie, we've had some fairly substantial property increases.
Is it a gayborhood?
It is a semi-gayborhood.
So the men are hot at the gym, but they're too hard to find out whether they're gay or straight. Is that the... Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. But look, whereabouts were you living before that? What sort of area were you living?
Glen Huntly, which is a stone's throw from Carnegie.
Okay, and before that?
Abbotsford.
Abbotsford. So
for a long time.
You couldn't afford to buy in Abbotsford again. So you're moving a little bit further. But then a lot of people find that even with renting, that, you know, as the rents change, that they do sort of make it a little bit more expensive to live in the area that they've always desired. So either you've got to live in a less salubrious place or maybe move to another area. So then you found your heart in Carnegie.
I did. I lost my heart in Carnegie.
How long were you looking for a property?
The long and the short of it, not that long. I suppose once the mortgage was approved through the broker, I'd done a little preliminary checking around the place, attended the odd auction, et cetera. But once I put my head down and now I knew I had the money and I wanted to get into something as quickly as I could, I don't even think it took 3 weeks in the end.
3 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, you lucky man. So is that...
you know, I've just said in one breath, it's not like buying a shirt. But at the same time, we've heard from mortgage brokers before on this program, once you've seen a broker or your bank or whoever it is that you decide to go to and you know how much you can spend, then you can go out shopping.
So you knew that you... is that the norm? My question is, did you... You got serious about it, then got the money and then went looking rather than looking and then going to see a broker?
I suppose I got a feel for the market and what I could afford generally before I went and saw the broker. And it just so happens that the properties around the area where I was living at the time was, you know, quite suitable and in the price range. So I went and saw the broker and, yeah, it was probably a little bit opportunistic on the property that I bought. But when you see something you like and it's at quite a fair and reasonable price, you're there on the day. So I certainly put my hand up.
What do you like in an auction? Are you one of those cool, calm and collected men, or are you, throw it all in the air and look at me
You were scared, surely.
Well, in another previous life, again, I did spend some time working as an estate agent.
You were. You've done all these things. You're a real estate agent and a banker. God.
Once upon a time. Quite some time ago. Although I've never been an auctioneer, I was the young fella at the time doing the carding at the side, which is the guy writing down all the figures, as people call them.
Did you also have to spot the people that were bidding and all that sort of stuff?
Yes, we had to do the occasional pointing.
Just to make sure they didn't miss a bid.
Exactly.
So how many auctions did you go to before you bought?
That was the second auction, actually.
Just like buying a shirt.
You're a gun. You're absolute gun. Now, I'm trying to recall all of your story, but you... you knew you were onto a good thing when you saw what the reserve was, and you thought, you know what, this is too good to be true. I've got to go to this auction, right?
Well, yes. Look, I only attended this auction on the day because I actually had my eye on a place around the corner that I was going to put an offer in on. And I thought that this property that I was attending the auction today, which I was just going for a price comparison, would actually be more expensive than the property I was looking for, a nice secure property. Recently renovated within the last 10 years, a good old solid 1960s block of apartments.
Yep.
And, yeah, on the day, it was a cold, rainy winter day at the end of a long, cold winter.
Anybody else turn up?
People showed up.
And there's a tactic.
Yes, we had a motivated seller.
Oh, right.
Who must sell on the day. They'd already bought another property. Nobody put their hand up, so I put in a bid and got the property.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So also, what you're actually telling is that you actually did some research. You knew what the value of the properties were in the area. You knew what other ones were selling for that were similar. And sure, it was only a 3-week campaign for you, but at the same time, you would have been out there. And let's face it, the information is there. You know, I looked up the lower property tonight in Carnegie. The auction results are there. Mm-hmm. I was also on a little website today called Rate My Agent, and I'm not doing a plug for them, but it's a valuable tool in the fact that you can find out how different agents perform, whether you're buying or whether you're selling, and choose using that. And it'll also give you top, 50 sales in the particular areas that you're looking at. And there's all sorts of different ways you can go to the major websites, which I don't think I'm allowed to mention the name of, but we know who they are, and there's two particularly large ones, and they're valuable resource tools. They want you to get on there, and that's why they put those resources into the marketplace, yep, to keep you on theirs and keep coming back. You can save properties that you're looking at. You can watch out what's happening and performing. Look at maybe the same property that you're about to bid on and see what it was sold last time. So the information is there, and you've been doing research as well.
Yeah. Look, I've done quite a reasonable bit of research on the properties, and was willing to go to a price. And I suppose, there was, if you see, don't look at a gift horse in the mouth, I suppose was the theme of the day. That the property was certainly going at a very reasonable price. Nobody was interested. Nobody was there. So I kind of
so
just put
did
my
that take, did that take away your nerves? Not having anybody else there?
Yeah, look, it's certainly assisted.
Oh, he's a man of steel. Look, we're talking to Trent about the first time he bought his first property, which was only a few years ago. Hopefully you can draw some conclusions and some, maybe some tips there. And we'll be back in just a moment.
You're on air with Our House. I'm Russ Masters, and I'm here with David Gale. The lovely Paul McClure is sick tonight, and we wish him nothing but the best. He needs to be having a hot lemon drink.
Needs to be ready for the new program, 12:30 on Saturdays.
Yes, Our House is moving.
Not this Saturday, but from the following Saturday.
Our House is moving to 12:30 on Saturdays, right in the heat of the action.
Oh, yeah.
We're with Trent Smith tonight. He's a gorgeous young fellow from Carnegie.
And he's been to that sizzling hot market of the auctions and all of that. People are scared of auctions.
Did you take anyone with you?
No, because I wasn't planning to buy on the day. Okay. So I was just going for a bit of a look-see to, get a price comparison.
And it was the right property.
It was the right property. So in the right time at the right place and got a lovely little apartment.
How long was the settlement?
Settlement was short. Off the top of my head, I think it was 45 days.
God, listen to this, man.
That's pretty short.
3-week sale period. Settlement 45 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bang, you're in the place. What did you need to do to it?
Well, it was in a bit of a shabby condition.
Was it really?
Yes, it was. Mm. But it was deliberate. I wanted to buy a shabby place.
Oh, sorry. I thought they'd deliberately made it shabby.
No.
Yes, so, they left with having a bang, didn't they? But no, you wanted something you were going to home renovate, didn't you?
Correct.
So what have you been doing to this place?
Well, I got a little bit carried away in the early days. So I actually had a 60-day turnaround for giving notice at my rental property at the time.
Yes.
So it did leave me with a
15 days to get there.
Correct. And start to do silly things like rip up carpet and pull out cupboards.
Knock down walls.
Well, that was the plan. But
that's a long story, that one, isn't it?
It's a long, tragic story.
So we'll come back to that in a moment.
Yes, we will. But so
so what sort of renovations have you done? Is that what you were going to ask?
That's exactly what I was going to ask. But you were looking at me and I thought, so Trent, what sort of renovations have you done?
Well, I started with the bathroom. No. At think, you know, probably the beauty of buying an old 1960s apartment is that, you know, they're pretty robust and they're very solid. If they're going to move around and fall apart, that would have happened a long time before now. I suppose one of the other advantages is that they're quite a bit larger than their modern-day contemporaries.
Yeah.
And what you've got is brick walls.
And anything you touch in those modern-day contemporaries is going to crash around you if you start touching it.
Well, that's the theory. I think that's the theory. And, I mean, they're not quite built to last. This is an old double brick premise. It's quite large for a single bedroom apartment. And, I mean, it's, you know, concrete floor, concrete roof, concrete wall. So,
it's pretty solidly built,
Opportunities there that you're not pulling out walls or things along those lines, although I did want to pull out a wall at this place, but again, that's a bit of a long story.
Actually, you said you wanted to pull out a wall, so you would have bought it thinking, oh, you know, maybe I'll take that wall out. There was a roadblock in the way. What was that roadblock?
It did seem like a good idea at the time. So the apartment has got a little hallway as you walk in and split off to the lounge room and walk down to the kitchen. It just seemed like a waste of space to me. And it seemed a perfect opportunity to pull this wall out.
Yeah, make it into a bigger place.
Exactly. Put in a little dining table, etc. So I did the right thing. Got a little structural engineer.
It's like the wall of shame off to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Walk of shame off to the kitchen, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, and what can you do with that space? Not a great deal. Hang your coats or something. There's a little closet there, but nobody's in that one. No. Everybody's out in Carnegie.
So you and Warren Darra Galinaro Gara Council didn't see eye to eye, I would take it.
Well, look, I was a little surprised. A structural engineer came in. I got a building surveyor guy to draw up the paperwork that needed to happen. And he just thought, off the cuff, I didn't know quite... know why, but he did Glenara City Council a call, Town Planning Department, to see if they had an interest, and apparently they did, which is a little bit of a surprise to everybody. Why would Town Planning have an interest in a small internal wall that can't be seen from the street in a department at the rear of a property in Carnegie? But they were adamant that they had an interest in my small, tiny wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they enforced a process where we pulled back the plans from architecture or whatever they called it, and needed to be amended to show the property without the wall.
And what was your wall?
My wall is about a less than 2 meter by 1.8 meter wall.
And why did they want it?
Well, nobody could quite explain why Town Planning would have an interest in this tiny wall. Yes, and I suppose, look, to get
Did you learn a lot about yourself and about dealing with councils over this period?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And you lost the outcome?
I think you chose not to pursue it any further.
I did. The capital expense far outweighed the value that it would added to the property. And however, I did torture myself by going through that whole arduous process.
Often not worth it.
Often not worth it to finally get the final figures in.
Just out of interest, the people that work at that council building will one day die and you'll be able to possibly go into some new, fresh, young-faced people and say, hey, what do you think about this? They'll say, oh, well, that's a load of rubbish. So,
now, okay, did you always dream that you were going to be a renovator? I just couldn't do it. I'd be too scared.
Well, I wouldn't recommend it now.
No.
But things you've done there have turned out really well.
Look, it's a comfortable apartment. I have been able to decorate it and renovate it in something that I'm very happy and comfortable to
the
to come
tiles
home to.
In the bathroom
are gorgeous.
Look, I took a magic, step back. They? Did you lay them yourself?
No, I didn't.
You got professional.
No, I didn't.
You did lay the wooden tiles in the lounge area, didn't
I did
you?
Have a crack at that. Yeah, so I suppose saving money was an interest.
Well, of course, because we had... Who did we have on a little while back who's renovated her whole house over a period of 10 years?
I think that was Sarah.
That was Sarah,
of course. Yeah, she did
so,
the renovation.
You know, you can... Once you've moved in there, you know, you can start doing that.
How long was your renovation, Trent?
Longer than it needed to be. I think a bit of forward planning may well have helped.
Yes.
And not just running in on the...
Sorry, I thought you were going to say a bit of foreplay would have helped.
Well, it helps in any situation, doesn't it?
But anyway, some forward planning. Yeah, perhaps.
You bring them over and the next minute they're painting your walls.
But, you know, once you buy your first place, you're starting to... save that money for you, you know, and meet your mortgage. And then you can see, oh, look, there's a little bit left over. I can spend that on a new set of knockers for the front door, or I can spend it on an
plantation
extra
blinds.
Yeah,
I love
plantation
them, love
blinds
them.
And things like that. Is there any more for you to do in the renovation?
Well, I have a small amount to do in the kitchen, but I've got to the point now where the
you
kitchen,
don't cook anymore.
No.
You need a break.
The kitchen, yeah, I need a break.
A break from
the
all of this.
Is you know, in quite a usable condition, but I think I kind of burnt myself up by gutting the place initially, then realizing that you probably needed to sequence things. So I lived in a cold concrete box for quite some time.
And but it's not good over a winter, is it?
No, it wasn't.
So
did you paint
summer,
it?
Actually.
Did you paint it?
Yes.
What colour did you? Was it an antique white or a mellow yellow?
Or no, just beige?
It is a lovely beige.
Oh,
is
that's it?
With some feature walls.
Oh, okay. It sounds very nice.
Yeah. So it was all about.
So
the
you know,
prefer a roller or a brush?
If you were going to give some advice to somebody, what would your piece of your best piece of advice about buying your first property would be? What would be your first? Best piece of advice.
Buy something renovated. Don't do it yourself. Oh.
Thank you very much.
Then
a man after
you,
my own heart.
Well, then I was going to ask you, if you were about to renovate your first place that you just bought, what would be your best piece of advice to give to somebody?
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
It's that simple.
Or do it in sequence maybe. Or play
I think do it in sequence. If you need to tackle the wet rooms and the hard rooms first, i.e. the bathroom needed to be done first. But, of course, that is the furthest room away from the front door. So every room before the front door basically couldn't be touched till the bathroom was done. You know, when a bathroom's being done and generally, that's a 2 to 3 week period, and it makes it, you know, pretty close to impossible to live at the property, because I needed to wait so long to get the bathroom.
What special features did you put into the bathroom?
Well, look, it's quite nice. So we ripped out the old shower over bath, which seemed to be a standard of the 1960s.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got a wet room now.
Got a big, nice big wet room, big walk-in
shower. Oh, I'd
love
a wet room. I would love one. I really would. Yeah. I've got this old. It's a thing.
I've got one in my Airbnb apartment. It's gorgeous.
No, we
walk in. You could fit about six people.
Oh, we walk into ours, and the next minute, the entire house is wet. I need to do a home renovation, but I'm going to sell instead.
Look, unfortunately, we're not here.
Steam
and
room.
I know I did call this last section of the program "Banging On with David and Russ," but we haven't got time to do that anymore because it's the end of our program virtually.
Oh, no, we've got a message.
Next,
in,
of course,
by the way.
Will be Triple Bypass. They're coming up at 9 o'clock very soon. And what sort of message have we got there?
Oh, we've got Rob's just messaged in from Carnegie, and he and his partner have just born in Carnegie. So you've got a neighbour here called Trent.
Neighbors.
You can be Gabers together, Rob and his partner and
it's
Trent.
It's becoming a Gaberhood suburb. So look, that's all from us this week. Now, of course, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, our house moves to 12:30. It's very important that you note that time because we know we've got many people that
Thank
love
you,
listening.
David, again for all your assistance
okay.
on the show.
Look,
you
I've bought it, enjoyed bought... every minute. Now, we have got a couple of messages, and
all
then
right.
we're going out with a song.
Trent Smith, it's been great having you on our show tonight. We look forward to having you on again.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.